9, the first, and Craig Easy will be calling all the action for Sky Sports Radio. 8 races, as Hazy said. Enjoy the weekend, mate.
You too, Andrew.
Greg Hayes there, and Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Stuart, big night, Wenty Park tomorrow night, of course, with the semis of the Peter Mossman.
Oh, mate, that's right. You never said anything truer. It's going to be a fantastic night tomorrow at Wentworth Park. And, of course, all eyes going to be on Fernando Bale. He blew us away last week in the heats, and well, we all want to know what he's got planned for an encore tomorrow night. The superstar sprinter, he clocked a brilliant 29.43 last week, looked absolutely fantastic, and he's rightly an overwhelming favourite in the first of tomorrow night's four semi-finals. And look, there's four heats taking place, and some great racing in prospect with some of the best sprinters from Australia in action. Mate, if you fancy a bit of value, then I reckon Lectra Outlaw from box 7 in the fourth semi-final is worth a look. Seems to be building ahead of steam, and that's a winnable semi as well, I think. But look, 10 races at Wentworth Park tomorrow, going to be a great night. And look, there's plenty of other great racing going on across New South Wales and the rest of the country over the weekend as well. Going to be a fantastic couple of days. And of course, you can get all the field's form and expert picks right now at thedogs.com.au.
Good on you, Stuart. We'll hear you on Sunday morning. Chasing and Pacing Rewind. Sunday gives you the reflection of harness and greyhounds between 10:30 and 11. Thanks, mate.
You take care.
Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Rose Hill tomorrow. That track at the moment is a soft 6. Don't forget to be a part of the Winter Super Saver tickets. Right now you can purchase one for just $20 and you get $45 worth of value. And you can do it until midday today. Go to the webpage, theraces.com.au, and come out and be entertained by the horses and the jockeys and all the other festivities tomorrow at Rose Hill. That's it for Racing HQ. After the break, Tab Talk.
Hi, Tappy here. Each week on In The Gig, we bring you all the harness racing news, plus interviews, feature stories, and special insights from industry participants. Join Gareth Hall and myself every Tuesday night at 6 on Sky Racing 2 for In The Gig.
Alfie Norman, massive half-yearly clearance. 50 months interest-free. That's zero interest and no deposit until July 2019. Technology, entertainment and home appliances, furniture, bedding in Manchester. 50 months interest-free store-wide. Zero interest, no deposit with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2019. Approved applicants only. Minimum finance amount $490. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in-store and online. Alfie Norman, massive half-yearly clearance on now.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Out of Randa at Great North Road. We've got very heavy citybound traffic at the moment with an accident over at Eastern Creek, the M4. That's approaching the M7. Westbound Lane 3 is affected there. Still got some heavy traffic. Ring of Freeway just past Falcon Street that run up towards the Sydney Harbour Tunnel. General Holmes at Foreshore still in high demand, but all moving right the way through to Southern Cross Drive towards Moore Park. There. Now, North Shore BMW end of financial year sale starts today with savings across the entire range. Visit North Shore BMW Chatswood today. I'm Silvio on Sky Sports Radio.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing. Feel sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set. They're off.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
Yes! Yes!
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
It's 10:04. Good morning, Tab Talk. Now, we've got the first at Addington, only about 5 seconds away here. And the scratching's three another penny, 10 no value. The favourite here, number 7, Gumpy's the name. $1.50 and a dollar.
Been crying out for an inside box draw. Gets that today at about 2.20 with bookmakers and Chipolata in race 4. I thought went an OK race first up and we've made that our valued runner. So they're about to be caught into the boxes. First of the day, 2.95 metres this one. And the favourite at 2.10 is Gumps the name. 4.40 Coleridge Jim, 5.90 Wally Baxter. The rest in double figures, Sucker to Wear, 11.20. So certainly not going outside the square. Are we? We've got all the favourites featured here. Green light is through. Bunny set a motion at about the jump. First of the day, favourite off the 7. Ready. Racing. Gumps the name. Slow. Best out. Would have been caught on Kit. Round the outside. Coleridge Jim goes to the lead. Then Tatum Baxter. Here's Gumps the name coming around wide now. They're followed up the middle by Sells Bay. Back behind them, Sucker Jewea. Around the corner, in front is Coleridge Jim. Coleridge Jim will get the prize. Second, Corbon Kick comes the name right down the outside. Got home for third. Sells Bay was next. They're followed by Tatum Baxter. In that bunch was Wally Baxter. They're followed further back there by Sucker Jewea. And that was near the tail of the field with Cool Gypsy.
5-9-7 over the line there. Number 5, Coleridge Jim will pay 4.20, 2.20. Number 9, Corbon Kit will pay 5.30. And 7, Gumps to Name at $1.04. 5-9-7. Race 1 at Addington Greyhounds today. 10:05. Jared Middleton joins me from tab.com.au. Morning, Jared.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. How are you?
Very well, thank you. I know we've mentioned a lot this morning, but that footage of the arm going pop.
Oh, boy,
the pain, that must have hurt like hell.
And Ben Ross is a friend of ours, of course, on Tab Talk. We've spoken to him a few times, so our thoughts go out to him. And feel for Wendell as well. I mean, it's just one of those freak things that happen. But poor Ben Ross, I mean, he had some bad luck during his footy career as well with injuries, and to have that in your retirement. Oh. And I've got to say, I don't watch the footy show that much these days. I actually flicked it over just as it happened.
It was just
bizarre to watch. And yeah, I thought it was going out to Benny Ross. And also, I just want to mention too, Cozzy, as we get underway, punters out there who've had a bet in the golf on Dustin Johnson. Now, he was a clear $7 favourite for that St Jude Classic, but he withdrew after 9 holes due to illness, and we are refunding all bets at tab.com.au across all markets on Dustin Johnson for the St Jude Classic.
All right, Buzz Rothfield joins us now. Morning, Buzz.
Yeah, hi guys, how are we?
Good. Have you ever seen anything as unusual or freakish as that? Well, I know we've mentioned we won't labour, but the arm pop last night?
Oh, terrible, wasn't it? You know, I could watch it again, and I see it's all over the websites, and it's going viral. Look, the footy show has improved out of sight in the last 3 or 4 years. They've really rejuvenated with some great talent there in Nolan. Fatty's going as strong as ever. And look, they were doing a wonderful thing for charity, that arm wrestle, and we've seen a lot of the biggest stars in the game, you know, compete, but to finish up like that was just such bad luck for the show, and so terribly unlucky for, you know, Benny Ross, a great guy, does a lot of top stuff for the men of the league, an ornament to the game, and what a shame it had to happen, eh?
Yeah, a massive shame. And Benny Ross, as you said, Buzz, does a great job for the Men of League Foundation, and you know, I know you've been to a lot of Men of League functions, Buzz, and they just do a great job for the wider rugby league community.
Yeah, he sure does, and I really mean that about the footy show and Glenn Pallister, their executive producer. They've really turned it around. They've, you know, ever since they moved to that 8:30 time slot, they brought a lot of class to the show, and it's very unfortunate it happened on live television, probably with a few too many kids watching as well.
Yeah. This weekend, I know we've got teams that are sort of spread apart on the ladder, Buzz, but there look to be some close games.
Yeah, there should be. Look, just this game on at ANZ Stadium tonight, the Tigers and the Rabbitohs, and it's quite an amazing scenario, because one of the reasons I thought the Rabbitohs might struggle a little bit this year was when it comes to Origin. A team that's won a grand final I can't recall before, there's only provided one Origin player, and that being Greg Inglis. Like, when they won the comp last year, I would have thought guys like Alex Johnston, Dylan Walker, even Johnny Sutton, Chris McQueen in the forwards, even Adam Reynolds would have been in really serious contention for that New South Wales side, not McQueen, of course. But it hasn't worked out. Reynolds got injured. Walker and Johnston made the Australian team, and Johnny Sutton hasn't been recognised as a 5'8", probably because he was out so long. So with that much talent still in the side against the West Tigers team, missing their two best players, Robbie Farah and, of course, Aaron Woods, their great front rower, they're a $3 chance tonight, and I actually think at $1.42, the Rabbitohs are great value in the multis.
Well, one punter agrees with you, Buzz. They've had $10,000 on the bunnies at the $1.42, now into $1.35, and we've just pushed the Tigers out to $3.20. Now, that win last week...
Yeah, this is amazing. They won the grand final so convincingly, yet have only one Origin player, you know.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. Michael Maguire would certainly be happy about that. Now, last week against the Warriors, Buzz, how close were they to displaying the form that we saw in the back end of last year?
Oh, look, you know, it was sizzling football. It was brilliant, you know, and all that cohesion and forward strength and power that had been missing, you know, for probably, or had been so inconsistent in the first 12, 13 rounds of the competition returned, and it was probably their most impressive 80-minute performance of the year, and it certainly sounded out a warning to all the rival clubs. I think Greg Inglis too was probably the most impressive game of the season. He was dreadful in Origin 1, and as I wrote in the paper, if Greg Inglis wasn't Greg Inglis, he wouldn't have been picked for Origin 2. That's how bad he was. And look, it was a really, really robust class performance, and no wonder they're firming again towards favouritism to win the grand final.
No doubt you were cheering watching your Sharks against the Roosters. Just an extraordinary result, wasn't it, considering what the Roosters dished up on Monday night against the Storm that Monday night previous. What happened from what you saw last weekend with the Roosters, their outsiders travelling to New Zealand against the Warriors this weekend?
Well, I left the game thinking, wouldn't Ray Murray have some fun with form reversals if he's working in the NRL? You know what? I cannot explain how the Roosters can so efficiently, so powerfully demolish Melbourne Storm 1 week, then come down to Shark Park, turn it into an error-a-thon. Their completions were terrible. They weren't fired up at all for the game. There's something, and I can't explain it, what happens to the Roosters whenever they play Cronulla, but it's become a real hoodoo game for them, and none of their big names turned up. I tell you what I think, and I know people at the club are quite concerned about it, is maybe they're lacking leadership this year. The Roosters last year had, of course, Anthony Minicello directing the defence from fullback, wonderful role model. And they also had Sonny Bill Williams, who was just a great role model, great leader in the pack. It was handed over this year to Jake Friend and Mitchell Pearce. Now, not for a moment would I criticise either of those boys, but the fact is they are not the same leaders as the two players I've previously mentioned. When things are going wrong on the footy field, they can't turn it around and rally the troops like Minicello and Sonny Bill. So I think that's one of the problems, the Roosters. I know Trent Robertson feels the same way. It's a learning process for two young players, Jake and Mitch, and it's something he'll be looking for them to improve on as the season progresses.
Now, the Warriors, Roosters game. What do you think? Close game here or not?
It should be tight, because I think the Roosters will be shamed into a better performance because they let their supporters down so badly last weekend. I think the markets are right. Have we still got the Warriors $1.67, Roosters $2.25?
Just into $1.65, the Warriors, the Roosters $2.31. Punter had 10 grand on the Roosters. Considering they're missing those origin players, it looks a brave bet. And Tompkins and Hurrell back for the Warriors as well.
So, Blake Ferguson coming back will be interesting.
Mm.
Kenny Dowell into the Sanders, so they're still very strong in the three-quarter line. I tell you, he's a good player. Kevin Hastings' son, Jackson Hastings, at halfback.
Mm.
The story with him is, when they looked like re-signing James Maloney for another couple of years, Jackson Hastings indicated he wanted out. He was going to come to Cronulla and play with his best mate, Jack Bird. The club got wind of that, and so they decided, let's look to the future, let's keep Jackson Hastings, and maybe because of his age, because he's the son of a club legend, and let James Maloney move on. So that's how highly rated he is. Geez, he's got his hands full tomorrow, though, against the great Sean Johnson, and a Warriors side that, as per usual, goes through the Origin series totally unaffected, while other clubs like Storm, Broncos and Roosters are stripped of their players.
The Gold Coast 2.20 buzz against the Bulldogs $1.70. Hodkinson, of course, on Origin duty. And Byron Reynolds. Now, how do you see the halves situation working out at the Dogs for the remainder of this season and beyond?
Well, I think what we'll be seeing on tomorrow on the Titans is basically the Bulldogs' future. And I had very strong mail before last Monday's game against St George that Des Hasler was going to rest Hodkinson and go with Mbai and Josh Reynolds. When Des knew that Hodkinson was under pressure with the Origin, he decided to do the right thing by him and start him. But it was there for all to see when Josh Reynolds came onto the field. It livened the Dogs up. They stormed home and they got the points. I think they are the long-term halves for the Bulldogs. And I don't think Trent Hodkinson will be offered a new deal. His contract's up at the end of the season. He is running out of options. Maybe the Titans is a chance for him. I know Cronulla are no longer interested. They've got Chad Townsend coming home. I guess Parramatta, that will need a halfback to go with the new 5'8", now that Chris Sandow's so publicly fallen out at Parramatta. So I think we'll see their long-term halfbacks on the Gold Coast tomorrow.
The Chris Sandow situation, just extraordinary, Buzz. What next for Chris Sandow?
Well, I don't know what's next, but you know what? I really, really like Chris Sandow, and I hate seeing excitement machines like him shackled. And I go all the way back to the Canterbury teams when Warren Ryan was coaching, and he fell out in similar circumstances with Chris, with the great Steve Turvey Mortimer. You know why? He was an excitement machine. He kicked over the top. He couldn't follow game plans, and that's why he was such a wonderfully gifted, brilliant kangaroo and origin player. Now, the same with Chris Sandow. Yes, he's very, very inconsistent. He doesn't like being chained down to game plans. I like, in a very, very stereotyped world of rugby league where everyone says, yeah, we're taking it a week at a time. Yes, I'm hoping to play well. All this, that we've got a player who will come out, speak his mind in the media and tell it as it is. And yes, he's obviously going to be leaving at the end of the season, but I think he's a very exciting player and I hope he does get snapped up.
Buzz, the Storm line up against the Eels. For the Storm, the back half of the season, they look like they've got a pretty good run home. I think they play a lot of teams that are outside or in the bottom half of the eight. They've got, what, three of the last five at Amy Park?
Yeah, they do. And even without their players, they've got a really strong pack on the field, you know, with Proctor and Jesse Bromwich and Dale Finucane. And, you know, I think they'll more than handle Parramatta in the forwards there. Look, any back line without Cooper Cronk, well, he wasn't going to play anyway. Billy Slater and Will Chambers, it lacks enormous, you know, speed, you know, and excitement and strike power. I've still got a feeling they're not a bad bet. Have we still got them at $2.10?
Yeah, $2.10 against $1.77. $2.10 at home, the Storm. I know punters will be licking their lips at that.
Yeah, look, I can't get involved with Parramatta anymore. I've put the big red felt pen through them. Any side that turns it up and concedes five tries in 12 minutes, I reckon it's a sign of some internal issues there. Chris Sandow, I guess, and the controversy there will probably unsettle the camp a little bit too. Look, they've got some freakishly brilliant players, you know, in the semi-Radradras, and, you know, Brad Takarangi's having a good season. Reece Robinson's playing, but I honestly think the Storm are good value at better than even money.
Yeah, you just mentioned too before, of course, we love seeing Chris Sandow come out and speak his mind. Of course, Des Hasler didn't speak at all to Fox Sports the other day and got a little fine, but generally I think the media and the public are intrigued by what Des Hasler's got to say, so I guess a fair punishment for not coming out and doing his half-time duty there.
Yeah, I guess so. Des is I think a $5,000 fine, you know, on the money. You know, people pay a lot of money for, you know, Fox Sports coverage, expecting to get an insight that others don't get. And I think it's a wonderful part of their coverage, and, you know, the coaches should be part of it. Having said that, the fine for Ricky Stewart of $20,000 the week before was totally over the top, total overreaction. Yes, he should have been fined. He turned up. He didn't stay for any longer than 24 seconds, but $20,000, please. You know, I think the $5,000 Des Hasler fine is more relevant, you know, to the crime.
Yeah, geez, he's racked up some fines, Sticky, hasn't he, too, over his coaching career. Now, just Origin 2, Buzz, New South Wales 2.40, Queensland $1.60. New South Wales were 2.30 yesterday, so we just pushed them out of touch. Some money started to run back to Queensland. However, New South Wales have been certainly the most popular. Around 75% of the money in the head-to-head is with the Blues at this stage. How do you see the big one at the G next Wednesday panning out?
I cannot wait, and I am really, really confident about New South Wales' chances, and I'll tell you why. We got beaten by only 1 point last game, and it was only because we stuffed up the field goal and the game management was so poor in the last 10 minutes of play. We have the world's best winger returning, Brett Morris, and we saw how brilliant he was at ANZ Stadium in his comeback game last Monday. We also have the one and only Paul Gallen coming back. And trust me, if we get to a field goal position, his leadership will not allow similar stuff-ups to where Robbie Farah first of all passed to Pierce, he worked to the right side, and then he failed to find Hodkinson and gave the ball to Dugan. That will not happen with Paul Gallen there. He is a smart leader, he's a powerful leader, he's an enforcer, and he'll take them forward by and lead by example. Now, that explains how the New South Wales side's been strengthened. You then look at Queensland and take out the great Cooper Cronk. I don't care what anyone says, Daly Cherry Evans might be a $10 million player. He is not Cooper Cronk in game management skill. I still don't think their big names performed to the best of their ability at ANZ Stadium. And I just think we're stronger, they're weaker. We only got beaten by a point. I think we are sensational value at $2.40.
Hope you're right.
Yeah, terrific. Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. Mate, I hope you're right, Buzz, because we know how punishing Queenslanders are when they win.
Yes, exactly.
I'll tell you something about Paul Gallen. Apart from being the big enforcer, he's a really smart captain. You know, they led 8-4 against East last week. Hmm. 2 minutes to go. Penalty in front. Obvious he was going to kick for goal. He said, hold on, hold on. And he pretended to get into an argument with Steve Price about what they should do. You know why I did it?
Waste time.
They were arguing whether they should take the 2 points and kick the touch. Gal told me after he was running the clock down.
Yeah.
He took about 90 seconds to make a decision on whether to take the kick in front.
Yeah,
and that, while it mightn't be in the spirit, is great captaincy.
Yeah. I can't believe there's been a debate about him coming back to the side.
And what that means is in the closing down of games, we're in really good hands with Paul Gallen there.
All right, Buzz. Well, we look forward to talking to you next week. And I've got a man sitting here waiting on the other line. Michael Kale is riding at Ipswich tomorrow. I think he might be carrying the maroon colours and disagree with you, Buzz.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Buzz.
Good on you, mate. Talk to you soon. Buzz Rothfield there. Michael Kale has been listening there on the other line. And are you going for the maroons or the blues, Mike?
Probably the maroons.
Yeah, you'd have to, I think, ride the Ipswich tomorrow, wouldn't you?
I think so. I think the maroons will make it.
Yeah, too right. Now, you've got a good book of rides at Ipswich tomorrow, the Eyeliner Stakes Day, or the Eyeliner and the Ipswich Cup. And actually, one interesting runner you're on to the second, a horse called Life at Sea for Kenny Landry, ran a nice race the other day in the Guineas at Gosford.
Yes, Sean, it runs have been okay. Looks to be a bit of a slow beginner, but can hit the line strongly. So, yeah, he looks like he's got a chance.
Yep. Now, what odds is that, Jared?
Life at Sea, $12 Life at Sea there. So, yeah, not a great deal of support for it yet. In the third, though, Michael, that two-year-old handicap over the 1,100. Real Goods, $6 joint second favourite with tab.com.au. Wicked Intent, the $2.50 favourite. Now, you've ridden this horse all five starts, and it won over the 1,200 two starts back, failed over the 1,350 at Doomben. I guess back to 1,100 really suits.
Should suit Gerald. He's got a nice barrier tomorrow. I envisage him just being behind the speed. He beat quite a good field when he won first up on Sunshine Coast Cup Day, but as you say, he didn't see out the 1350 last start. Backing trip here and a good draw should see him right in the finish.
Michael, you're on I'm Hector going around in the next one, race five, the Provincial Stayer Series final. This horse looks like he's just got Stayer written all over him. He's basically just been at 1,600 plus nearly every run.
Yeah, he's a very well-bred horse by Teofilo. Real staying type. He's been patiently handled by his connections. He's, as you say, all his runs have been good. His last start, he drew the outside of 16, got a long way off the leaders, but went to the line pretty much as well as anything in the race. Looks a pretty even field, Sean. I think barrier draws and luck in running will probably determine the winner. He's drawn to get a good run, and he should run well.
Yeah, $5 favourite there. I'm Hector in a pretty competitive betting race indeed. Now, in that Ipswich Cup, hang on. I've got a text from Glenn Munsey here, Michael. Were you born in Cowra, New South Wales?
Yes, I no, I wasn't. That's not right. But I was born not far away, Parks.
Ah, right, Parks, yeah. The beautiful Golden Central West.
Yeah, we moved to Cowra when I was 14. My father moved there to train for a very well-known local breeder in the area, Lindsay Twig, and I became apprentice shortly after moving there.
So, and you're going for the Maroons?
Well, I think the Maroons will win.
All right. The Ipswich Cup, you're riding one for a very smart trainer here, Wayne Walters. He wouldn't be bringing this up there unless he thought he had a chance.
No, you're right. She came over from New Zealand, actually, and I've ridden her the last two runs. Both her runs have been good. She was strong at the end of the Oaks last start, and it's good draw here on the minimum weight. I think she's going to be. She'll run the trip right out. There's no doubt about that. But she should race pretty handy to the pace and looks a good ride.
$9 there, my tricks. Ballygarry, the 4.20 favourite. Dan Chai, a bit of support for two at $5, Cozzy.
All right, you're on Allman. Peter Moody's giving you the ride in the Eyeliner Stakes. And it's down towards the bottom as far as weights go, but it's again been knocking on the door.
Another three-year-old. Been racing well. Took Winks to beat him in the Guineas at Caloundra. He looked the winner halfway down the straight. He's back in trip. He's coming back from 1,800 metres here at the Gold Coast and then a mile in the Sunshine Coast Guineas. But he looks a nice prospect.
Mm. By Sebring, yeah, too right. Then the Gaywater House Classic, you've got a real surreal, isn't it funny? I mean, the horse, he didn't go badly when he went down south, but back there again with Kelso Wood, and his first run back was a ripper.
Yeah, you're right. She ran really well here the other day. Got back from a wide draw. Better drawn here tomorrow. I think she likes to race off the speed a little bit, though. But, yeah, she looks hard to beat, really.
Yeah, 4.40 favourite too, the best supported runner in the race. A pretty competitive betting race, though, there.
Yeah, it's a good field, good even field. But I think if she's taken some improvement, real surreal from her first up run, she should play a part in the finish.
I'm just having a look to see where the rail is tomorrow, Michael. I noticed recently there, Ipswich, they had it out a bit. They got it back true, and it had been out by G. It was almost like first round the bend in your home, wasn't it?
Yeah, you need good draws or to race near the lead, near the rail when the rail's out. It's 8-9 metre positions there at Ipswich. Back in the true, it's a good track and gives most horses their chance.
Yeah, you've got a good four there tomorrow. You've got a nice book of rides of yours when you look at them. What would be the one you'd put on top?
Oh, maybe Real Surreal. Maybe Real Surreal. But the 2 3-year-olds in the feature races, No Tricks and Norman, I think they're both good rides as well. Just see how they can measure up on the day against the more seasoned horses.
And you never trust a Kiwi coming over the ditch with a horse, Michael, do you? When they bring one, you know they're after our money, aren't they?
He's a good trainer, Wayne Walters. He knows his horses.
Too right in a Savabeel. It'll be no worries at all with the distance and no worries with fitness.
She's ready to run well.
All right, terrific. Well, good luck tomorrow. We wish you all the best.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Terrific. Thanks a lot there, Michael Kale. Now, the NBA Game 4 will be getting underway about 11 o'clock this morning. What are the odds on this one, too, with Dellavedova, our man? We just all claiming him now. He'll be set to go out there and just destroy again, Jared?
Yeah, the little boy from Maribor taking the world by storm. What a story it is. Of course, we spoke about that with Tom Wilson over there in Cleveland yesterday. Cleveland, though, outsiders at home here in Game 4. Of course, they'll go 3-1 up in the best of 7. Huge interest for Golden State here. They're $1.57. Cleveland, $2.50. Remember, with tab.com.au, you're getting $1.95 lines. We've got a flat line here of 4. Cleveland, the plus. Golden State, the minus. And we've added Matthew Dellavedova to our player exact points market too for Game 4, which we have this market for LeBron James and Steph Curry, the two mega stars, but we've opened it for Dellavedova as well, and he scored 20, of course, in Game 3. If you think he can do that again and score exactly 20 points, he's paying $23 there, Cozzy, but the best supported so far is 9 points at $15, so plenty of markets you can bet on with the NBA there. Of course, we've got the AFL tonight, a very intriguing game between Port Adelaide and Geelong. And Geelong have been supported here. They've been backed in from $3 into $2.65. Port Adelaide at $1.50. Gold Coast $9.50 at home against Fremantle at $1.06. Very short for that game tomorrow. West Coast at $1.12. Short again. Essendon, who are struggling and friendless in betting, $6.25 after their capitulation against the Cats last week. North Melbourne $2.65. Sydney at $1.48. Collingwood at $1.55 against GWS $2.45. Should be a good game.
Should be a ripper game, that.
St Kilda at $1.70 against Melbourne $2.15. Gozzy.
Yep, and the Collingwood GWS will be because both young sides.
Yeah, absolutely. And GWS, I mean, can you believe that this is a candidate for Game of the Round? Is it their fourth year in the competition now? And there they are at 7-3 after 10 rounds in the season. And they've just about re-signed close to all their young stars too. Oh, could you imagine if one day Sydney played GWS in a grand final, Cozzy? What would you do? What would the Melbourne people, how would they cope?
They'd be hemorrhaging.
Oh,
they would be hit. But then again, I mean, you've got the other interstate sides. You've got the prospect of, Brisbane Lions playing West Coast Eagles, for example. But to have two Sydney ones in the grand final, that would just have a special non-attraction for them.
Might be easy to get tickets. That's one, thing. But
what will be interesting with GWS, I reckon, is the back half of the year, just to see how they go towards the end, whether or not, and I mean, I'm not putting them down, but there are a lot of other younger players. They are a lot fitter and a lot more solid this year. And I suppose a bit of wear and tear and a bit of tiredness probably was an issue in previous years.
Yeah, that's a good point, especially with a young side as well, and just the mental battle, particularly in the back half of the season. That's where you see the teams, like I've been the Hawthorn when they get all their players back. You watch them just charge home towards the finals, and they've still been well supported in premiership betting as well, the Hawks.
All right, good on you, Jared. Good to catch up. We'll talk